as well.
For the opportunity to get up here and speak to everyone tonight. I'm thankful for all the encouragement that everyone gives me when they know I'm about to going to speak. I appreciate everyone trying to lift me up. I might not be able to speak anymore after this discussion and question that I was not among the young members anymore. Mike's telling me how old I'm getting, you know. So I might not be able to be part of that group anymore, but I appreciate y'all encourage me to get up here and do this. As Chris read, my lesson is going to partake in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. It says, I'll read it again. It says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does come not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." So if we love the world, and we have the cravings of a sinful man and the lust of his eyes and the boasting of what he has and what he does, this does not come from God the Father. It comes from the world. But the world and its desires will pass away. We have to remember this. It'll pass away, and the man who does the will of God will live forever. Loving God requires obedience. He requires us to put him first. He requires us to put him, God, the Father, first. And we read from 1 John 5, verses 1 through 5. It says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commandments. This is the love of God, to obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So, we can overcome the world by loving God and obeying God's commandments. We also have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and we can overcome the world through believing and the obedience of Christ's commandments, which is part of God's plan, Christ's plan. We separate ourselves from the world as Christians, but this doesn't mean that we don't have an enjoyable life. We can be Christians, and we can have a fun life as well. But being a Christian, it doesn't mean you can't laugh and have a good time. Let's look at Mike, for example. He's all the time cutting up, you know. You think you can, you know, living a Christian is going to take away, being a Christian is going to take away all your fun. That's just not the case. You can have fun, but you just have to have fun in a way that's not going to displease God. Again, being a Christian, we have to separate ourselves from the world, because the world views of fun is definitely different from the view of a Christian. The world sees sin as fun, and Satan uses all kinds of devices to lure people to the world. In 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9, it says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. We should, as Christians, remember put on the armor of God. It tells us this in Ephesians 6, 10 through 19. And it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil and in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, that you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints, praying also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. So, the devil, he's always after us as Christians, and he's going to try to reach us in different ways. but we can turn to God's Word to resist that. Satan, also, some of the things I want to bring out, Satan uses all kinds of devices, like I said before, like alcohol, drugs, greed, sex, all kinds of desires to draw people to the world. And I worry about our young people. I worry about my children especially, because it's so enticing, you know, and the devil uses all kinds of things to draw them to him. And like all their friends at school, they're into different things like that. But I worry about the young people because it's so enticing, and it's hard to resist at times. And I just want to say to the young people to look around and look at the lives that others that have gone down that road in the world with drinking and drugs and stuff. And I know my children have seen folks that have taken that step, and they have the people that know. One guy, he's an alcoholic, and he tells them that, you know, and he wish he had never taken that first drink. But that's where Satan, he lures people in that way, and he gets you. Just, you know, not everyone becomes alcoholic or drunk or whatever, but that's how Satan lures us in. And I just want the young people to think about when you're going out and you're hanging out with your friends and the things you do. Listen to your parents and take their advice, because sometimes it only takes, some drugs, it only takes one time, and you're sucked into a horrible life that you're just trying to dig your way out of. So that's what Satan does. He uses those type of things to draw people in and away from God. He'd like to lead all of us, not even our young people, you know, all of us, every age, to get us to come to be his people. So how can we tell if we are worldly? In Colossians 2:8, it says, Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Well, if you follow after the traditions of man and not after Christ's teachings, we're worldly. So that's one indication that you're worldly. And in 1 John 2:16 says, For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. So if you're more concerned with desires and wants of this world, if you put these things before worshiping God, it shows that you're more concerned with these things of the world, and it separates us from God the Father. And we can have these things and enjoy them, but we can have things of the world and enjoy things of the world. It's not wrong to have nice vehicles or houses or enjoy. I enjoy fantasy football. It's thanks to Daniel. But there's a lot of things we all enjoy. Maybe golf or maybe shopping. But we don't have to quit living. But we just can't put it before God and put it before our worship to God. So we just need to remember what's important. In John 17:14, it says, I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Well, another way to tell if you're worldly is if you fit in with others that are not living in Christ's word, or if you're not different from those that are living against God's will. You may be part of the world if you're not a little bit different. And as Christians, they'll be different from everybody else. It's not a bad thing, but that's the way you can maybe think about if you're part of the world. Like I said before, it just doesn't mean you can't have fun. You have to find different ways of having fun. You know, things that aren't contrary to God's word. So being a Christian is not, you don't have to be a stick in the mud on everything, but we can't do the things that are against God's will. The next point is like, what happens to worldly people? What do you have to lose by being of the world? Well, worldly people, they will be punished by God. In Isaiah 13:11, it says, I will punish the world for its evil, the wicked for their sins. I will put an end to the arrogance of the haughty and will humble the pride of the ruthless. In Matthew 25, Jesus, he talks about how the righteous and the worldly will be separated. It says, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on the throne in heavenly glory. All nations will gather before Him, and He will separate the people one from another. As a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, the sheep on the right side and the goats on his left side, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. In the last verse of chapter 25, it says, the one who did not please God will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So the righteous will inherit eternal life, and the worldly will inherit punishment, you know, eternal punishment. In Revelation 20:15, it says, anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. The book of life refers to the Lamb's book of life, which has every saved person's name in it. If our name is not in this book, we are lost and we'll be punished in the lake of fire. And we will be in hell with Satan, the prince of this world. So that's what happens if we are part of the world. So if we're living in a worldly life, we have everything to lose. Spiritually, we will lose our soul. And that's all really we have. I mean, there's a lot of things in this world that's fun and we'll go out and do. And it's enticing for people to go and do. But if we lose our soul, we've lost everything. We don't have a chance. And by giving up a worldly life, we can gain a spiritual home in heaven with God and Jesus. So if we are of the world, we know we're not going to be with God and Jesus. And if we were choose not to be of the world, we would be in heaven. So the time on earth, though, it's short compared to the eternity. Our life here is temporary. It's like a vapor. It's just a little while. It may seem like a long while, you know, because I'm already 43 years old. I'm already booted out of the young men's club. It seems like yesterday I was just 20, you know, just starting in life. But time does fly. And you never know when something's going to happen, you know. I was thinking, I used to see my mom every time she'd get the paper, and she'd go to the obituaries first thing, you know. I was like, well, that's the craziest thing, you know. But you see, you know, as you get older, we think about death more. But as younger people don't, but they should, because you never know. And now I find myself, if I look at the paper, I'm looking in there and seeing, you know, if anybody I know has passed away, or that's how time gets away from us. So, but we must be prepared to leave it at any time, because we're not promised tomorrow. In Matthew 24, verses 42 through 44, it says, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch, would have not let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." So we don't know when Christ is coming back, and we don't know when we could pass away. So we need to be ready at all times and not be of the world. We could be here 1 minute and gone the next. It's just, we never know. And you could get out of the world tonight by being baptized into Christ. Like I said again, being a Christian does not mean we don't have a life. It just means we put away worldly things. We can have a very blessed life and a joyful life being a Christian. And you can, being a Christian, it gives you a life that you know you will receive a home in heaven with Jesus. And that's nothing less stressful than that, than knowing, as with all as stressful as this world is, it's when it's over, we'll have a home in heaven with God and Jesus. After, sometimes this life's pretty rough on us, you know, going, decisions we have to make and everything. So, but tonight, if you're not a Christian, you could become one by taking the steps of God, Christ's plan for us by being baptized, you coming forward and become a new creature in Christ. But if, tonight, if you're been a Christian and you've fallen away, you could make your life right tonight by coming forward and confessing your sins and starting all over, getting a fresh start and get back to being a Christian and living a Christian life. If you need to come forward, please come while we sing this song.